Anybody grateful for the blood of Jesus tonight? For the name of the Lord, our strong tower, we thank you, Lord.
God, and welcome to another broadcast of The Voice of Love. This is your servant and your minister, Basil Robinson, of Christ the Way Ministries, and we give God, our Father, praise, and we give him thanks today. We glorify him because he alone is God. Hallelujah, and we acknowledge him in everything that we do, and we, without him, can absolutely do nothing. And so we thank you today for joining in and tuning in with us as we continue on this life journey to experience, not just talk, but to experience the life of God in a human vessel. And so, Father, we bless each and every person here under the sound of my voice. Father, stretching us across the globe, our children, our sons, and our daughters in India and in Africa and Europe, South America. Oh God, Australia, these United States, the Caribbean. And Father God, those who are your children that we are divinely connected to, that is your family. And Father God, I thank you that today you'll cause men to see what is the hope of their calling in Christ Jesus, that they'll be able to experience a salvation that can be felt. It can be demonstrated to all because you're alive and you cannot be decreased and you cannot be removed. You is as you are. And I thank you, Father God, that we are as you is. And so I give you praise and thanks, oh God, that over every city, that there'll be at least one person who will agree with me today that the kingdom of darkness, Satan's rule, is terminated, that they can give you entrance into that city. Because just as in your word, Father, it took two. You sent them out two by two before your face, before whatever city you would enter into. And the fate of that city was determined by two. Hallelujah, two disciples. Oh God, they was determined by two. So that in every city that this broadcast is being broadcasted, there would be just one person who would say, I've had enough. I've come to the end of seeing Satan's dominion in my home, in my yard, in my block, in my city, in my state, in my nation. That you would come in the midst of us now to do, oh God, as we invite you into this realm called earth. Just as you reign in heaven, we give you right now to rule through our voice, rule through our words, rule, oh God, to destroy spiritual death, destroying the power of Satan, destroying sickness and disease, destroying poverty, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for just one in each city that would agree with our word, oh God, that would become their word. We stand with you right now in the name of Jesus. There's more with us, hey, glory to God, than are against us. And so, Father, I thank you, oh God, for all of those beautiful children and wonderful people. Father, that you're drawing to yourself. You've emancipated them. You've freed them, Father God. And today they may discover just how free they really are in Christ, that they can step from darkness into light and become light in that name, in the name of Jesus. We give God praise and we give him thanks and we give him glory. And we want to continue on today on the theme of Christ, because he is the absolute unwrapped love of God in human form. God packaged his love in the person of this man, Jesus. Hey, God, thank you. And he packaged this love in such a unique way. And he loves you. And he cares for you. And he's done everything for you. I listened to the song and, you know, I really enjoyed the spirit of the song and the anointing of the song. I believe in the name of Jesus. And, you know, we look at that song and it says there's power in that name, but I just want to correct that if I could, and without diminishing what they said, there's all power in the name of Jesus. He doesn't just have some power. There's all power in the name of Jesus. And he's not going to break every chain. He has broken every chain, and he desires us to come into a place where we acknowledge by our words what he's done. And we acknowledge by our words, we agree with him, that all power is in that name. And so the early church was a people that they used the name of Jesus for everything. They didn't say it in a negative way. They didn't say it in how the world uses that name, almost like a curse word. But they used that name to open doors, to open blind eyes, to heal the sick, to bring strength to the lame, and to raise the dead. They used the power of that name. And I pray today that we can begin to see just what God invested into that name. That name on your lips changes everything. That name spoken by a son of God changes everything. That name on your lips is God in the earth again, as Jesus walked the earth with the Father God and with the Holy Spirit. So you, with that name, born of God, born as a son of God, born not of incorruptible or corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. Praise God. And so we want to look at a couple of scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, and beginning at verse number 1. Ephesians 2 and 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." He's now working in the children of disobedience because of what Jesus did. We'll find out that there's a different power in the air, and there's a different power that worketh now on planet Earth. Hallelujah. "Among whom also we also had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." He's speaking about what was. And he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy," thank you, Father, "for his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us," Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, "even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." We were dead in sins, but we are now quickened together with Christ, who is the righteous one. So he's made unto us righteousness. So we were quickened that were dead. You who were sinners, you who were sin bound, he has quickened you now to righteousness and to holiness and to be bound by God's mercy and his great love. He says that by grace, the power of God, grace is nothing more simply than the power of God enabling you to do the will of God. So by the power of God enabling you to do the will of God, you're saved. "And hath quickened and hath raised us," has raised us. Where you are is not where you were. Where you are is no longer where you were. "He hath quickened us together with him." So when he made him alive, he made me alive, he made you alive with him. Hallelujah. "And made us sit together in the heavenlies." In other words, Jesus said in John chapter 3, right around verse 13, verse 14, he said, "No man has ascended into heaven save the Son of Man who came out of heaven, who is also in heaven." So while he was there as the Son of Man on the earth, where Peter could touch him and John could touch him and James could touch him and Andrew could touch him and his mama could touch him, his mother could touch him, his friends could touch him, he was still yet seated with the Father in heaven. And we're going to see something today of the power of this mystery called Christ. Hallelujah. And he says, "In the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And remember, sin is a legal standing. It happened legally, and so it had to be addressed legally. The law of sin is death, so sin is a legal transaction that took place in the garden with Adam. Glory to God. We're going to get some good news today. Hallelujah. We got some good news today. I don't have any other news for you, but good news. Verse 7 says that in the ages to come, right now, he might show the exceeding riches of the grace, of his grace in his kindness towards us. I would want to interject in here, who believe through Christ Jesus. He says, "For grace, the power of God enabling you to do the will of God, you're saved through the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's faith. So you're for by the power of God enabling you to do the will of God, you are saved through the substance of God called Christ, the evidence of what is not seen, because you seem to look like the same person that you were before the encounter. But now there's a different substance working in you and upon you. Glory to God. And he says, he said that not of yourselves, it's not of you, it's not of any man. Anyone that's following a leader that is dead and you can go to their tomb, it's works, it's not Christ, it's not grace, it's not God's power, because Jesus is not dead. He was dead, but now he's alive. He died and God raised him, just like we were dead in trespasses and sins because of Adam's transgression. Glory to God. He said, verse 10, for we are his workmanship. God didn't consult with Satan. He didn't consult with Michael, the archangel. He didn't consult with Gabriel, the messenger, the chief messenger angel. He didn't consult with any other angel. He consulted with himself to create in us a workmanship that is solely of God and not of man. There's no bishop, there's no apostle, there's no pope, there's no prophet involved in this thing. Glory to God. And he says, we are his workmanship. I am his workmanship. He created me in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells me that we are a new creation in Christ. God created you, not man. He said, unto good works, hallelujah, which God has before ordained. It's not something that's just happening. This thing was planned out, worked out, ordained out. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and ordained you that you should bear fruit, that you should go forth in my name and destroy the works of the devil. Glory to God. He says now, that we should walk in them. He constructed great faith. He constructed great working of miracles. He constructed signs and wonders. He constructed healing of the sick, cleansing of the leper, raising of the dead. He said, even the dead will hear his voice. Glory to God, the Son of Man. He said, now, verse 11, he said, wherefore, remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, past tense, you or who are called the uncircumcision, by which is called the circumcision of the Jews in the flesh, the Jews in the flesh that received a covenant from God through Abraham. Abram, who became Abraham, the circumcision was a seal, the sign of every Jew's covenant with God. He said, that's not what God did inside of you and will do inside of you if you hear his voice. Harden not your heart even now. He says that at that time you are without Christ. Glory to God. Being aliens from the commonwealth. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And strangers from the covenants of promise. Having no hope without God in the world. Hallelujah. But now. But now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. But now, in Christ, you who are sometimes were afar off, glory to God, for every person that believes that God has forsaken you and God has left you and God doesn't remember you, he said you were afar off, but now he's closer to you than a brother, than a sister, than a twin. He said he's nigh you even in your mouth, even in your heart, glory to God. He says, but now, in Christ, you who are sometimes afar off are made nigh, are brought close by the blood of Christ, by the blood of Jesus. For he is. If you don't have any peace today, you need to confess that Jesus Christ, the risen one, is my peace. And hath made us both one. And has broken down the middle wall. The middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile. Between Commonwealth of Israel and Gentile nations and heathen nations. He said he's made one man. There's no messianic. There's no white. There's no black. There's no Chinese. There's no Jew. There's no Gentile. There's no barbarian. There's no Scythian. There's no male. There's no female in Christ. Because to have Jesus' blood dripping upon you, poured out upon you, you're covered with another's blood. And that is the distinguisher to say whether or not you make it into the kingdom or you're outside. The blood of Jesus. It's the discriminator. It's the distinguisher. I could see someone coming up before the Father and saying, Father, I'm an Italian, American, Jewish, Pentecostal, Baptist believer, there would be confusion in heaven. And because there's no confusion there, that could not stay there. And so this Christ that raised you, this is some things that he's going to share with us that he did. He says, verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments continued in ordinances, for to make in himself of two, those who had the law of Moses and those that were without law, the law of Moses. He said to make of those two a new man, having only one law, love ye one another as I have loved you. Love the Father God, Abba, as he loves you. And then love your neighbor, love others, saved and unsaved, just as God would allow the sun to rise on the just and on the unjust. He said, imitate, be like your Father in heaven. And he says now, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity, and came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to them that were close, that were nigh. For through him, glory to God, hey God, for through him we have one access. We both have one access by him, by one Spirit, the Holy Ghost, unto the Father. He is the promise that he promised in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He's the promise of the seed that would come and crush the head of Satan. And Satan, though he would bruise his heel, he was speaking of the cross. And he had to let kingdoms, the kingdoms that Daniel saw, this image, he had to let the Roman kingdom come into place, the legs come into place, to where they were masters at crucifixion. They pioneered, they brought crucifixion to its zenith, its highest place. And God, looking through the annals of age and time, saw that this Roman Empire would be the empire by which he would glorify himself and free man, hey God, from every law, every ordinance, everything that was written against you because of Adam's sin. And I want to thank him right now. I just want to tell him thanks and just give him praise. Hallelujah. Because you see, God is not going to do Nothing creeps up upon him unawares. He's not planning for you. He planned. And so when he sat down and he rested, everything was done. It was completed. And so as a father, he comes into the garden, Genesis 3, and he says, Adam, where are you? And so it's the voice of God walking in the cool of the day. And because God is spirit, and Adam was made in the image and the likeness of God, he was a spirit that was made alive that could speak, that is in God's class. So he never heard God's voice audibly till when he sinned that day. And when he heard the sound of God's voice audibly, just like on the mountain, when God came down in the book of Exodus, And administered and gave Moses the law and called him into the mountain. Moses said, We greatly quake, we shook. The mountain shook. He said, if any beast would touch the barrier, it had to be stoned or pierced through. That you'd find in Hebrews chapter 12. And he says, that fear was God's voice. The people said, don't talk to us anymore. You see, those who are the children of disobedience, when light comes, when the voice of God comes, and he's coming because he's come, and he's come because he's coming. And when he comes, that voice, people begin to shut it off because we don't want to hear this power anymore. So God, as a father, we seem to think that he came to destroy. The Bible says Jehovah came, the Redeemer came for Adam. He said, what have you done? He said, I was naked and I was afraid. He said, who told you? Who told you? Did you eat of the tree I said, do not eat of? And he said, yes, the woman. He began from that moment to shift blame, pass it down. And the woman came to the point where she judged righteously. She said it was a serpent. It was a serpent. And God then began to speak. But he clothed Adam with a temporary garment. And so when God said, in that seed, the seed of the woman shall bruise, shall destroy, shall crush the head of Satan. From that moment on, though men didn't see it, God redeemed the woman. And so the Bible says that Jesus was born of a woman. He began the cleansing process of women. And when he raised from the dead, it's amazing that the first person that he encountered was a woman. And so we have people fighting for rights that God established and gave back because you're his workmanship in Christ Jesus. And so when we look at now this cross that Jesus bore, the Bible said that the seed of the woman. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 15 that God said that if you would obey his commandments and keep his precepts and his statutes, he said you would not put sickness and disease upon you. Jehovah Rapha is who he would be. To Abraham, he was Jehovah Jireh. He was the God, the resurrector, because Abraham was dead in his bowels and Sarah was dead in her womb. And he made life. Isaac just doesn't mean the son of promise. Isaac means the son of promise, the spirit. Because he was made by the spirit, God said something and Abraham believed him. And he said, I'm going to change your name. And he said, from Abram, high father, to Abraham. Abraham, the father of multitudes, the father of many, the father of nations, the father of a house called faith, the father of many seed. And Abraham, from that moment began, when they asked him, he said, what's your name? Aren't you Abram? He said, no, my name is Abraham. The promise was the seed. The promise was Isaac. The promise was the Holy Spirit. So God had to develop. In our minds, he developed a plan before Adam sinned. Before Adam sinned, my father developed a plan. And I found out that he shared this with me. He said, the best way to infiltrate somebody's house that's fortified and guarded is to get that person to bring something in that looks like it belongs there. Let me say it again. The only way to infiltrate, it's almost like the story of the Trojan horse. The only way to infiltrate somebody's house that you want to destroy is to get something in there that looks like it belongs there. And you see, in that, God was very clear and he made it very succinct. And so the seed of the woman, this Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, to Moses, he was the lawgiver, the perfect law. To David, he was the song. He was the Redeemer. He was the Lord that said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand. He was Adonai. He was El. He was the Almighty. And so he was the Lamb that came. And just like God, see, he takes the foolish things. He destroyed Egypt with the tears of a baby. Moses' tears attracted Pharaoh's daughter. And because she didn't kill that child became the implement. See, he infiltrated. He looked like an Egyptian, but in his heart, he was a Jew. He was a Hebrew, an Israelite. that God allowed him to come in. See, Pharaoh allowed him to come in. He overrode his own edict to get Moses in, not understanding. See, if the lords of this world would have, if Satan would have known, he would have never crucified Christ. Glory to God. And so God said, for me to destroy the kingdom of darkness and the one who had the power of death, I have to get in. Glory to God. And so the seed, these are all the components of the seed. Isaiah, he was the Holy One. Holy, holy, holy. Jehovah Sabaoth. He was the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. To Malachi, he was the one who would rise with healing in his wings. Glory to God. To the Jew, when they were leaving Egypt, he was the lamb, the Paschal lamb, the sacrifice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. To Abraham, he was the righteous one, the righteous judge of all the earth. And so God put all of that and condensed it into a seed word called Jesus. He was Emmanuel in that seed. He, God with us. He was Counselor, Mighty God, Glorious. He was Prince of Peace. He was the Mighty God. He was all of that put into this seed. Every revelation of God put into a seed called Jesus. Hallelujah. And putting him into that seed. Glory to God. He became a man. And the Word of God, he was the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 1. He was the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He's the Word that upholds all things. He's the Father's Word of power. And God put all that into that seed. And then they called his name Jesus, because he shall deliver, he will save, he will preserve, he will heal, he would made whole. He would not just inoculate man against sin, sickness and disease, poverty, death, but he would cure man permanently of sin, spiritual death, sickness, disease. He would cure man once and for all of poverty, debt. He would cure man of all these things and make man a new creation that reflects the very righteousness of God. And so let me make a couple statements here that may shock you. There are no atheists in hell. There are no atheist demons. Satan himself is not an atheist. The Bible is clear, the book of Jude, that even the devils believe. Even the devils believe. The rich man and Lazarus, the book of Luke. Jesus, this wasn't a parable because he mentioned the name. The man's name in the Latin language is decadence, sumptuousness, lavish lifestyle. That was the rich man's name. Jesus said the word of God concerning him that he would make his grave with the rich. Not just Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea coming to take his body and put it in a tomb that was never slept in, never used by anyone. But he would make his bed in hell. David said it. He saw it. He said, though I make my bed in hell, hey, thou art there. And so again, there's no demon that does not believe. That's why when Jesus said to that man possessed at the Gadarenes, he told that demon after they talked, after the demon worshipped him, he said, go. And they went into the pigs. Demons believe. And that tells me that how can you, who are a human being, become such a pawn of Satan that you will believe that God doesn't exist, call yourself an atheist, and the one that has influenced you to have unbelief believes that Jesus is his Lord. And that every son is Lord of all. That the kingdom dwells in the Son. And every son, the kingdom of God. Psalm 103, verse 20. His kingdom reigneth over all. And so Jesus came and he became a lamb. He didn't come as a king. He didn't come as this conqueror that everyone thought he would be. He became as a lamb. And he faced a lion, a roaring lion. And he submitted himself to that lion and destroyed him by becoming a lamb. It was his meekness. It was his humility. It was his gentleness that destroyed Satan. It wasn't the almighty power. You see, because God could not destroy Satan until the appointed time. Because the word of God is clear that God exalts his word above his name. And because he has exalted his word above his name, he said there's a set time. He said Satan will be cast into a pit for 1,000 years. After 1,000 years, released for a certain season. And then thrown into the lake of fire. God, your father, my father keeps his words. So as I was looking at this thing, and I began to see that God could not enter hell. See, though I make my bed in hell, his presence in there. Now, this is very, 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 it's not, to some it may sound tricky, but it's not really. God's presence, air may be in this room. Air may be where you are. Air is there. But you're where you are and I'm where I am. Though the air is there. And so God's presence is there, but God never visited hell. Because the wages of sin is death. And the punishment of death legally is incarceration in hell until judgment. And so God could not visit there because he's righteous and he's holy. And so for God to enter into hell, glory to God. Hey God, he had to allow Satan to enter his body. Jesus, who knew no sin, Second Corinthians 5:21. Jesus, who knew no sin, never practiced it, wasn't familiar with it, wasn't intimate with it, who knew no sin, God made him to become sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So God made Jesus. That's why in the garden, he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, thy will be done. He had to allow the nature of Satan, spiritual death, legally, to come into Jesus and cause Jesus' spirit, the man, Christ Jesus, to become death for every. He went back to Adam and everyone, the Basils, the Tonys, the Nicolas, the Roxannes, the Jennifers and the everyone's name that was in that name called Adam. He had become our sin. And so when he became a man, he identified with humanity. But when he became sin, we identified with him legally. And before you could imagine, when he became sin, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so the Father, having left his son's spirit because another spirit had come in. He became identified with Satan. And the angels that were watching, holy and unholy, demons alike, they were marveling to know that God, who was the Son of God, who was man, had become to look like Satan. But they didn't see the wisdom of God. Because at that moment, glory to God, God trapped Satan, glory to God, within this man called Jesus. Trapped him. So he thought, Satan thought he had Christ. He had Jesus. But really, Jesus had him. And so as Satan is guarding, when Jesus gave up the spirit, gave up the ghost, they were so surprised. He goes into hell, and Satan commands all of his principalities and powers. He said, the gateway out, make sure you seal it, make sure you protect it from him coming out. Because I heard him say that just like Jonah, 3 days and 3 nights, and God was in Christ. He was going through the roll call of your name. He was going through the roll call of who you were. He was going through the roll call of you are dead in trespasses and sins. And he spoke a word to your spirit, to your name that you were born with on this planet. And he set you free. He satisfied the legal claim, the punishment and the penalty of sin is death. That's why it took 3 days. It took 72 hours. Glory to God. God, having trapped Satan within Jesus' spirit, Satan believing that he had trapped Jesus in hell. And when God said, it is done, mankind, Adam, all of him was justified. God sent forth the power of his Holy Ghost, the power of his spirit, and his spirit raised Jesus. And as Jesus became quickened in hell, this is the first time it's a documented truth. I was there, I saw it, I'm a witness to it. This is the first time that hell saw light. That's the first time that hell saw light, and all that were there knew that this Jesus that was there was the Messiah, was the God, was the very Jehovah. If they would have known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. And so, having trapped him there, Hebrews tells us, Chapter 2, that those who sat in darkness, those who all their time were in fear and in bondage, those who were without hope in this world, those who were in trespasses and sins, he said, for their sake he became just like them, that he might destroy him who had the power of death. That's the devil. And as these principalities were thrown away from the gates of hell, Jesus came out, and Satan now had to bow because there was a new creation. The seed was tested. The word was tested. The lamb was tested. Every revelation of God, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, was tested in hell as a man. And he could not be loosed. He could not be set free until you and I were set free. He had to wait until the last person on the line, the last person on the queue was justified. And when he said the last one was justified in Adam, then Jesus rose as proof, positive. That's why they wanted to try to tell people he didn't come out of the tomb. He didn't go tell this lie. Sounds like your father, the devil. And Jesus comes out of this entrapment, this penalty box, this prison called hell.
suffered like no other human being has ever suffered, because he suffered for the entire human race. You are without excuse before God. You are without excuse. You see, I was there. I was there when Satan had commanded that I would be imprisoned, that I would have to face death and have to be imprisoned in hell and then thrown into the lake of fire. I was there. Where were you? When he came out, I came out with him. He fought the battle. I got the victory. He fought the war. I'm more than a conqueror. And Satan bowing before Jesus could open up his mouth, this unholy angel, shivering, quaking in terror, Jesus put forth his hands, and Satan knew instinctively to give back the keys to hell, death, and the grave. And when he took it, I took it. When he took it, you took it. You have the keys. If you are born again, if you are a son of God, you have the keys to unlock, to lock up hell. Read Matthew chapter 16. He said to Peter, he said, behold, I give you keys. He said, whatsoever you bind, Peter, on earth is going to be bound in heaven. It's not about heaven. It's about the earth. It's binding and loosing on earth as it is in heaven. Sickness is bound in heaven. Healing and health is loosed in heaven. Poverty is bound in heaven. Riches, wealth, superabundance of life is loosed in heaven. Remember, God had to get into hell, a place that he could not go, to destroy the one who had the power of it, the genius of my father. He didn't figure out the plan when Adam sinned. The lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. He died a lamb. He rose a great high priest. Glory to God. He rose God, the God over all creation. There is no other human being that can lay claim to that. Everyone that men follow, except for Jesus, there is a marker called grave. Their bodies can be found by God. Jesus' body that went into hell can never be found by God, because he destroyed it in hell when he quickened him. Your body, my body, if you dared to believe this, see, sickness in the name of Jesus will just begin to depart from you now, because your body was destroyed in hell. The spirit, soul, body that makes you a human. The spirit, Jesus, the word says his soul was made an offering for sin. His spirit was made an offering for sin. That's the terror he faced in the garden. To be identified with Satan, just to free you and I of Satan. You see, he just didn't free you from Satan. But he ended up, this is love. He destroyed him who had the power of death. He destroyed him. He not just removed the enemy, but he destroyed the enemy and set you free. You see, because I see it and I witnessed it I'm a witness to what I'm telling you. My mind has been solidified upon this rock, this revelation of truth. And when my father had me experience what I was reading and studying for years, it literally is my experience. If I tell you something else, I would be lying to you. If I tell you I didn't know my father, I would be lying to you. He loves you so much that he took your place. Trapped Satan when Satan thought he was trapping him. Destroyed the power of death. Loosed the sting of death. Hey, God. The pangs of death. And took the grave's victory. And you see, because of his new body, when he came in, the spirit that came in that was tested in hell, the new spirit that came into his body, it quickened it to become a new body. That's the guarantee that Satan, spiritual death, sickness, disease, poverty. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Tells me that he became a curse. He said, curses everyone that hangs on a tree. You see, God just didn't curse him. If I put a curse on you like Jesus cursed the fig tree dries up. But the Bible says that Jesus became the curse. He became spiritual death. That's the curse of the law. He became sickness and disease. He was made spiritual death. He was made sickness. He was made sick. He was made disease. He was made diseaseful. Every disease, every sickness was put into his spirit. And he took our poverty. And God made him poor. And as a substitute, that we might become rich, that we might become given, we might become the recipients of eternal life. Eternal death, the substitution, eternal life. Satan is the father of spiritual death. God is the father of spiritual life, my father. For our sicknesses and our sorrows and our pains, he's given us joy, healing, deliverance. This Christ is walking amongst you right now to heal you, to deliver you. If you can just reach out with your heart and say, Lord, this is me. This is who I am. You know who I am. I don't have to tell you the problem. I just want the answer. If it's cancer, then the answer is not remission. The answer is cancer-free. The answer is freedom. If it's blindness, the answer is sight. If it's deafness, the answer is hearing. If it's death, the answer is life. I challenge each and every one of you. Romans chapter 10 tells us, if you can believe what I told you today, that Jesus did this for you, that the genius of God, my Father, brought you out from bondage into. He just didn't quicken you. He just didn't leave you a sinner saved by grace. He said, now you're a son. Now you're light. He is God. And I thank him that beside him, there's no other. There's quite a bit more that we have to share with you as our time now comes to a close. But let me say it again. It's not even about confessing your sin. If you read Romans chapter 10, verse 8, he says it carefully, clearly. He says, hey, if you believe that Jesus did this for you. And you confess him. Didn't say confess your sins. Confess him as your Lord. You shall be saved. Thank you so much for being with us. Until the next time that we get together, I give God praise. And again, I just need one person in each city to stand with me. Just say, you know what, Apostle, I'm a son of God, just like you. And I agree that sin, the power of sin, is broken over my sin. Whether you be in Monroe or in Monrovia, that the power of poverty is broken in my sin. That the power of sickness and disease is broken in my city. If you could say that and hold fast your confession. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14. Jesus, the high priest of our confession. Hold fast. God is with you. I believe with you. For his power again in the earth. Like never before. In Jesus' name. And as we go, we have our women's conference, the Women of Kingdom Power 2019 conference, March 29th, 30th, and 31st at the Bridgeport Holiday Inn, 1070 Main Street, Bridgeport, Connecticut. The theme of this year's conference is the Great Outpouring from Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. For more information, call 203-880-9553. Or visit us at our website at www.ctwmii.org. That's www.ctwmii.org. Remember, the registration is free. And if you've missed any of our broadcasts, you'll also be able to hear our broadcasts and download our messages. And I pray that you pass this on to someone. Let someone know. It's time for the sons of God to wake up. Begin to dominate the earth as he intended. God bless you. We truly love you. In Jesus' name.